Christ is risen.
Risen indeed.
Amen. Which is glorious news. Glorious news. Jesus Christ conquered death in the grave, and He rose again. And all those who come to place their faith in Christ as their Savior will have victory over death because Jesus has conquered that great enemy for us. And that means that we will experience life. Life eternal, life everlasting. This Easter morning I'm going to share some thoughts about the cross and about the resurrection, and it's going to be interspersed by three songs that various folks are going to come up and sing here in just a little bit. And I hope that these songs minister to your heart and bless you this morning. But I want to go back to Gretchen's song for just a moment, the Via Dolorosa, which literally means the way of suffering, as her song mentioned. It is an actual route in Jerusalem that has little markings on the corners and street posts there, Via Dolorosa. But it's the traditional route in Jerusalem which our Lord traveled as He carried His cross up to Golgotha. So that route goes from where Pilate sat in judgment upon Christ and issued his sentence and condemned Him to die, and then tried to wash his hands of all that, of course. And from there, all the way to Calvary, to Golgotha, the place known as the place of the skull. So the original place is called the Praetorium. That's where Pontius Pilate would have made his judgments. And either there or some place near there, Christ was beaten and mocked and spat upon by the Roman soldiers. He was then forced to carry his cross through the streets of Jerusalem and up to Golgotha, where he was crucified. The Via Dolorosa in Jerusalem actually has marked on it 14 stations of the cross where people go, pilgrims go, or visitors, tourists go to observe and to commemorate the various events that occurred to Christ along that route. For instance, including when He fell and couldn't carry the cross anymore, and Cyrus of Cyrene was enlisted to help Him carry the cross along the rest of the way. But I have some pictures of the actual Via Dolorosa in Jerusalem. There are four pictures, and we'll just play those for you. But this is the path that historians believe that Christ took to go from the Praetorium up to the place of the skull, to Golgotha. The one final picture actually is the place of the skull, or Calvary. It's called the place of the skull because, it kind of works like, you see on the news, somebody sees the image of Jesus on a potato chip or a pancake or a grilled cheese sandwich or something, you know. And so people set it in a window, and people that put an altar and a shrine there, and they come and worship whatever. So people centuries ago, saw a skull in this, and it's right here. These two carvings out, or I don't know if those are natural or a tomb somebody built, whatever. But those are the eyes, and this outcropping of rock here makes the nose, and so it looks like a skull. And so even in Jesus' day, that was called the place of the skull, or Golgotha, or Calvary. So I want to read the passage for you in Luke's account, Luke 23, if you'll listen along. When they came to the place called the skull, there they crucified Him and the criminals, one on the right and the other on the left. But Jesus was saying, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." And they cast lots, dividing up His garments among themselves. And the people stood by looking on, and even the rulers were sneering at Him, saying, "He saved others. Let Him save Himself, if this is the Christ of God, His chosen one." The soldiers also mocked Him, coming up to Him, offering Him sour wine and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." Now, there was also an inscription above Him that read, "This is the King of the Jews," a little placard that they put above His head. Jesus suffered the humiliation of the trials, the brutality of the lashings, and He endured the cross. Jesus suffered for you and for me. He took the weight of our sins and bore them on our behalf, that we might be forgiven and be reconciled to God. In a previous sermon, when we were talking about the doctrine of salvation, we looked at what reconciliation means. Two parties that were at odds, at war with each other. And that was us. God is holy, man is sinful. We were running from God, alienated from God, and through Christ we've been reconciled to God and made to be at peace. The account in Luke continues, "It was now about the sixth hour, and darkness fell over the whole land until the ninth hour." And just to put that into our context, they began counting the hours at 6 a.m. at sunrise for them. That would be hour number one. So you go through six takes you to noon, And then the ninth hour would be 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So when it says the sixth to the ninth hour, that it was dark, it means from noon to 3, or right in the middle of midday. So it was now about the sixth hour, and darkness fell over the whole land until the ninth hour, because the sun was obscured, and the veil of the temple was torn in two. And Jesus, crying out with a loud voice, said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Having said this, he breathed his last. Jesus died. Jesus paid the ultimate price. He faced death so that we could be set free, so that we could have life. Luke continues, and a man named Joseph, who was a member of the council, a good and righteous man, he had not consented to their plan and action, a man from Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who was waiting for the kingdom of God, this man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. And he took it down and wrapped it in a linen cloth and laid him in a tomb cut out of rock where no one had ever lain. He died on the cross. He was laid in a tomb. He was dead. No movement, no breath, no heartbeat. His body went cold. That great deed by God the Son is the single most loving, sacrificial, costly act of all time and eternity. He endured the cross. God endured the cross and conquered death. And he did that for you and for me. Jesus was a sacrificial Lamb of God, the innocent Lamb, without spot, without blemish, who was shed for the sins of the world. But without that loving sacrifice, you and I would forever be lost and hopeless. There would be no way of escape from the consequences for our sin, from the judgment and the wrath of God. We would die in our sins and would face the eternal consequences for that, and God would be entirely just to do so. But praise be to God for sending His Son. Praise be to God for providing the Lamb. Praise be to God for counting the cost and paying the price that we might be saved. Renee Toon is going to come and sing for us a song that speaks to this great loving sacrifice by Jesus, the Lamb of God. May you be blessed. Jesus is that Lamb of God who rescued the souls of men. He was the Lamb that was slain. But that's not the end of the story. One of the great sermons of the past century was delivered by Pastor S.M. Lockridge out of San Diego. A couple of years ago, I played a slideshow, a PowerPoint of one of his famous presentations called "That's My King." I don't know if you recall that, but it's where he goes on and he goes through that sermon and describes Jesus, and he says that he's indescribable, he's incomprehensible. That's my King. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. That's my King. And it's just very inspirational. I encourage you to Google it and listen to it, but it's really great. The other sermon that he's famous for is called "Sunday's Coming." And I won't quote the whole thing, and I promise you I won't do it justice. So again, you gotta Google it. But it goes like this, and I'll just play it. I'll just give you a part of it. It's Friday. Jesus is praying. Peter is sleeping. Judas is betraying. But Sunday's coming. It's Friday. Pilate is struggling. The council is conspiring. The crowd is vilifying. But Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The disciples are running. Mary is crying. Peter is denying. But they don't know that Sunday's coming. And he goes on to eloquently describe the various events of that day leading up to the crucifixion. And then he concludes like this. It's Friday. The disciples are questioning what has happened to their king. And the Pharisees are celebrating that their scheming has been achieved. But it's only Friday. Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The earth trembles. The sky grows dark. My King yields his spirit. It's Friday. Hope is lost. Death has won. Sin has conquered. And Satan's just laughing. It's Friday. Jesus is buried. A soldier stands guard. And a rock is rolled into place. But it's Friday. It's only Friday. Sunday's coming! And trust me, it's a lot more dramatic when you hear him do that, but that's within the limits of Steve's fairly confined personality. But what a great way to celebrate Sunday. To remember the day that Christ went to the cross, but to build anticipation for what was about to take place 3 days later on Sunday. So often we spend our lives back there on Friday. We get mired down in our problems, the concerns and worries that overwhelm us, the struggles and trials that weigh upon us, and it feels like the dark clouds of Friday. And though those concerns and those circumstances are real and legitimate, they are not the end of the story. Sunday's coming. In Jesus, we have great hope and great promises to live by. Jesus has rescued us from sin. He's given us the Holy Spirit as our helper to equip and strengthen us and guide us through the difficult times of life. And in the end, every struggle, every trial, every heartache and suffering will be over. And we will be home with our Savior in heaven forever, where all the pain and issues of this life will be forever behind us. Sunday's coming. And what a wonderful truth to live by, that Jesus has conquered sin and death so that we might walk in newness of life. Sunday's coming. Listen now as Hannah comes to sing "Forever." Now that is a Sunday's coming song. The ground began to shake. The stone was rolled away. His perfect love could not be overcome. Oh, now death, where is your sting? Our resurrected King has rendered you defeated. Forever He is glorified. Forever He is lifted high. Forever He is risen. He is alive. He is alive. This is the centerpiece, the climax of the great drama. This is where we place our hope. He is risen from the dead. He has conquered the grave. Jesus is alive. The angel said to the women at the tomb, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who has been crucified. He is not here, for He has risen just as He said. Come, see the place where He was lying." I love the depiction of the Apostle John's vision when he was taken to heaven in Revelation chapter 5. John has been ushered up to heaven, and this is what he sees. Listen. "Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was standing in heaven, and one sitting on the throne. And I saw in the right hand of Him who sat on the throne a book, written inside and on the back, sealed up with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the book and to break its seals?' And no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the book or look into it. Then I began to weep greatly because no one was found worthy to open the book or look into it. And one of the elders said to me, 'Stop weeping. Behold, the Lion that is from the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has overcome so as to open the book and its seven seals.' And I saw between the throne and the elders a Lamb standing as if slain. And He came and took the book out of the right hand of Him who sat on the throne. When He had taken the book, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each one holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, 'Worthy are You to take the book and to break its seals, for You were slain and purchased for God with Your blood men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth.' Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne and the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might, honor and glory and blessing. And every created thing which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and on the sea and all things in them, I heard saying, To Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and dominion forever and ever.'" Jesus is that Lamb slain for our sins, nailed to the cross. There He paid the penalty that we deserved, and 3 days later, He overcame. He overcame death and the grave and rose again. Forever He is glorified. Forever He is lifted high. Forever He is risen. He is alive. He is alive. So what do you do with that? What do you do with that? How do you respond? What do you say to the one who made the greatest sacrifice for you? We maybe feel unworthy of such love, such sacrifice. We maybe feel like we have nothing to offer, no gift to bring, nothing to of any significance to lay before the one who paid the price for us. But those feelings of inadequacy and insignificance and unworthiness, Jesus takes away. It is in Him that we find true significance and meaning and worth. It's in Him that we experience true deliverance and freedom. It's through this risen Savior that we find grace, grace by which we are saved, grace by which we live. How can it be that Jesus would do so much for us? How can it be that He would love us so perfectly, so purely? Listen as Megan comes to sing for us. Gave your life to give me mine. You say that I am free. How can it be? That's Easter. It's the pivotal point in God's great plan. It's the hinge upon which all else depends. It's where we find life. It's why Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. A great promise from Jesus, the Lamb who was slain, who rose again. Do you know Him? This Lamb who was slain for you? Do you know Him? The Savior who died and rose again to give you life? That's why He came. He came for you and me. You gave your life to give me mine. How can it be? How can it be? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we bow to You, O Lamb of God, in humble adoration, complete amazement at such love, such devotion, such sacrifice for us. Thank You. And we know the words are not enough, but there's nothing we can do or say to let You know how fully we are grateful to You and the sacrifice You made by loving us so well. Father, we thank You for sending Your Son. We thank You that through Jesus we have life everlasting. And this morning, as Your church, as the people of God, we celebrate. We celebrate. We shout for joy that Christ is risen. We shout and declare to the world that we have a risen Savior who sits on high, who reigns at the right hand of God the Almighty. Christ is risen. Hallelujah. Praise You, Lord Jesus. Amen.